Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is actually the last month of episodes for 2024. I'm going to take a couple of months off and give you a chance to go back and binge listen or listen to any episodes that you may have missed. But I wanted to bring a few more voices here to the Make Life Matter podcast before I took a break. And so I've been very intentional as we end this year on the podcast who I wanted to sit down with. And Rachel Wojo has been on my heart to have here on the podcast for some time. I've known her for a long time. I met her a couple of years ago and just feel like I'm getting to know her a little bit more. And you're going to really love this conversation. I'm encouraging you just to lean in and listen today. And your prayers may be desperate, but you don't have to be. In life's darkest moments, Christians often wonder if their prayers only bounce back from the ceiling. I know I've been there, and maybe you even feel like you're there right now. When desperation strikes, is it possible to exchange panic pleas for powerful peace? Well, author Rachel Wojo answers this question in her brand new book that's just about to come out, Desperate Prayers, Embracing the Power of Prayer in Life's Darkest Moments. Rachel is an inspirational author, a public speaker. She's a podcaster herself, and she's known for her popular blog over at rachelwojo.com. And through her biblical approach and personal life experience, she empowers women to discover strength and hope in everyday situations. She's also going to tell a little bit about her story here, and you're not going to want to miss this. Mm-hmm. Despite enduring the loss of her mother, adult special needs daughter, and father, Rachel remains resilient. If I could think of one word to describe Rachel, that's the word that would come to my mind. Mm-hmm. She's authored the uplifting book, One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up, and is about to release her brand new book, Desperate Prayers, Embracing the Power of Prayer in Life's Darkest Moments. Rachel is crazy in love with her husband, Matt, and she cherishes motherhood with 6 children on earth and 2 in heaven. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so glad to finally have you on the Make Life Matter podcast.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you, Angela, for such an incredible podcast that you have. And thank you for hosting me. I feel honored.
Oh, you're so welcome. And before we go any further, if you're watching, you just have to just notice, look at this spectacular. When I turned on the video, I'm like, what is behind your head, Kalash? She said, no, it's a bookshelf. That is so gorgeous behind you. And I know probably you are avid reader of books. You love books. You're writing books. But Rachel, you're new here to the podcast. So for people who don't know you, maybe they've never met you, can you just share a little bit of your story? We touched on it there in the introduction, as we kind of dive into this conversation together today.
Sure. So I am honored to be here. I started 15 years ago, a little teeny tiny blog called Just a Mom with a Heart for God. I had no clue what I was doing at all. I had gone to my pastor and said, I think I'm supposed to lead women. Mm-hmm. And I remember him sitting across from me, folding his arms, looking at me and saying, you think you're supposed to lead women? Like, he had no confidence in that statement whatsoever. And so he said to me, well, if you will package up your Bible study and bring it back, drop it off to my secretary, then I'll take a look at it and get back in touch with you. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. I ran home and I was just so honored that he would allow me to submit my Bible study to him. And so I packaged up the best that I could and put it in a nice new shiny folder. And you have to remember this 15 years ago.
Right.
And so I took it and dropped it off at the secretary's desk, and I never heard from the pastor again about that Bible study. Mm-hmm. And so the beautiful thing about that story is that I didn't know what to do. And I remember putting my shoes on and going for a run one afternoon saying, Lord, I know you've given this material to me, but I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. And a friend said, I think you should start a blog. And yeah. I said, what's a blog? I had no idea. And so that is where I began to just really, hone the messages that God was giving me, foster them and nurture them, and try to share with other women what I was learning in God's word and through prayer. And that's how it all started 15 years ago when I was pregnant with my sixth child.
Oh.
And the Lord has just blessed immensely. He has blessed so much. But our family story goes a little bit deeper than that. My husband and I met originally online at ChristianMatchmaker.com. This was many years ago, before it was popular to meet in this way. And our histories were so similar. Both of us were divorced with one child. Both of us had grown up in Christian homes with Christian parents, and neither of us ever dreamed that we would be in a place of being divorced. So it was a very unique situation where I feel like the Lord just blessed us immensely and gave us each other. And at the time, my special needs daughter was only three, headed into age four. We knew that she had a lot of developmental delay. She had been born early, emergency C-section, but we thought at that moment through the doctor's diagnoses that she would grow out of the delays that she had. And there was one specific day where I told her to go put her socks on, something that she had done many, many times. And she sat down on the floor and she looked at the socks and she looked at me, and I realized she doesn't know how to put her socks on anymore. She doesn't understand what to do. And it was a very pivotal moment for me because I realized there was something, you know, in your mama's heart, Angela, when there's something so much bigger. And so at that point, I decided we needed to dig in and really figure this thing out. It took a long time before we would finally receive her diagnosis of a rare metabolic disorder called mucopolysaccharidosis. The type of disorder she has is type 3. And oh, I'm so sorry, Angela. This is the reality of my life. The dog has decided to open the office door and make herself welcome in here. So if you hear, she's pretty quiet, but if you hear any grunting and groaning, all of you listeners, I promise you it is the dog and not me.
What is what is your dog's name?
She is Kimber.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I have a dog named Chewy for Chewbacca. And so if I'm home by myself, he will scratch and scratch at the door until I let him in. So I totally get it. So hey, this is real life. So everyone who's listening understands real life. So.
I hope so. I hope so. But I almost think that sometimes she senses when I'm about to tell a story that's really personal to me, because it seems like that's when she chooses to come in. Back to the story though, Taylor, was just a bubbly little girl, and she could sing like a bird, and there was just so much to her life that we adored. She had bouncy pigtails, tons of hair, and everywhere we went, she was just a joy. She brought so much joy. But her diagnosis of mucopolysaccharidosis type 3B is also called Sanfilippo syndrome, and that is often labeled as the childhood Alzheimer's. And many people are familiar with Alzheimer's because it's a neurologically degenerative disease for the elderly. Often are most affected by Alzheimer's, and they gradually lose all of their memory and all of their function. And so this neurological degeneration would be Taylor's path from the time that she was 4 years old. The average lifespan is expected to be 10 to 15 years, and God gave us 22 years with our Taylor. So we consider ourselves to have been very blessed to have her for the time that we did. If I fast forward to 2019, her life ended on January 2nd, 2019, and I don't even know sometimes as a lost parent There's really no label for a parent who has lost a child other than survivor. You know,
Right.
if you've lost a spouse, you're a widow or a widower. If you've lost a parent, then, you know, there are different labels to explain that. But there really isn't one for a parent who's lost a child. And so I usually call myself a survivor for that reason. And I think that's a label that so many people can relate to. But the interesting part about being a survivor is that you often feel alone. You often feel lonely on that journey, and you often feel desperate. Like, who am I, and what am I doing, and how does life keep going from here when it seems so wild? So I hope that gives your readers just a little bit of a picture into the life that I've lived and up to this point, and how I might be able to just point them to God's word and the prayers that He has answered for me in hopes that it will encourage someone else.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And what I didn't realize until just this moment is my dearest friend in the entire world, that we've been pastoring out here for almost 30 years. So the entire time we've been here, she's been at the church. Her name is Janet, and her daughter passed away of Sanfilippo syndrome.
Really?
I have never talked with anyone, and I don't even know that she knows more than just a handful of people. And mainly just online, almost the same age, I believe, and her name was Rachel. I believe Rachel passed away maybe at 24 years of age, 22 to 24 years of age. I was actually there when Rachel went to heaven. I was with Janet. And so, I just have a very, it's been a very integral part of my life, walking this journey of friendship with Janet, and a front row seat to grief, and the way that caring for a special needs child changes your life, and in ways that really no one else that walks through that will completely understand. But it was just it my heart just kind of skipped a beat when you said the more medical term. I thought, I think that's Sanfilippo syndrome. So then when you shared that, so and I just
Wow,
I know.
Angela, man, I just feel this sense of camaraderie that is so, wow. It's just so beyond what I can even describe on the podcast right now, because it's just such a rarity. And then I feel like my worlds have collided in a way with you explaining that to me.
I know, and
So that's really precious to me.
well,
Thank
and
you.
I've read so much about your, I've seen your posts online. I actually met you. Either must have been in 2021 where I did the first Communicators Collective retreat. But I was overwhelmed, you know, putting it together. We built the plane from the ground up, and it was so many women that I was just barely beginning to know. And so, and I regret, to be honest, Rachel, that I didn't know more of your story then. And I feel like that just speaks to the, you know, we were all coming out of kind of this blur of 2020, but you know, you lost Taylor in 2019, and so the rest of the world is kind of reeling, and yet you were going through your own personal private pain as well as this kind of collective painful journey that we were all walking on. So I can't imagine how, even in additional ways, how much more isolating that may have felt. I'm not trying to project or speak for you, Rachel, but I've watched you, and to really kind of hear you share. And I know from, and I know every person's story and situation is unique, but I know from walking this journey with Janet that it is just, and I have said that word before, actually, to someone who was here on the podcast, Nancy Hicks, who lost her son to cancer when he was in college. And I said, oh, Nancy, we have words like widow and widower, but we don't have a word for a parent who has lost a child. And that's just what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's not what God intended. We live in a fallen, broken world, but we don't even have a word for this because it just shouldn't be. But I've seen in my own life, although I have not walked through losing a child, I have walked through the near nearly losing my own life. And it was in a very desperate place, Rachel, that I actually said to the Lord, I don't ever want to feel that desperate again. And he said back to me, Angela, that's the way I always want you to feel, is that desperate for me and that dependent on me. And so what I've seen in my own life, Rachel, and I want you to speak to this. I have seen that desperation in and of itself is neither bad nor good. It is the way that we choose to embrace it and allow the Lord to use that desperation to turn our hearts toward him, because we really can become bitter, confused about the character of God, maybe untrusting of his character in those situations. So we fast forward now. It's been 9 years since you released your last book. And I must just stop for a moment. As a pastor, and my husband has been a pastor, I heard you share that story about bringing your manuscript at Speak Up. And I was just, I don't know, feeling all of the not so positive emotions in my seat. I was like, oh. And I came out and I told Dale, I'm like, what is wrong with these pastors? So just from someone who's been in the ministry, I'm just sorry. But at the same time, I think had he not, and God can use anything.
Amen.
But you wrote the blog, which has gone on to offer so much hope and healing to hurting people. So even in, you know, situations where people
absolutely,
God still has a plan. His plans and purposes were not ever thwarted in your life. So I just had to throw that, like, that shouldn't have happened. But at the same time, I'm glad you were resilient. You were persistent. You knew that God had called you. You refused to allow, and you, that's just been your life story. I refused to allow anything to keep me from that. So let's talk about desperation, because it's been 9 years since your last book. And now you're writing this book, Desperate Prayers. So what has, and I'm sure everything we've just talked about helped to frame this, Rachel, but why was this what you felt like was the book the Lord wanted you to write?
During all of that time, you know, I mean, I lost my mom. I didn't tell that part of the story, but I lost my mom in 2000. And I found out my daughter's diagnosis shortly thereafter. And then in 2019, after my daughter passed away, you know, the whole world was in turmoil for 2019, 2020, even 2021 for many people. It continued. And then I lost my dad. And so, the Lord just, when you talk about desperation, I feel like I understand the bottom of the barrel. I don't want to live anymore. Just take us all to heaven, Lord, right now. Kind of feeling. I really have experienced that loss will turn you reeling faster than anything. And so, and pain and, you know, just hurt. I mean, as a mother, you wish that you could take on that pain for your child more than anything. And you mentioned this earlier, but if you think about it, the enemy really likes to use those scenarios to make us feel isolated. And if you think about it, the very first mother who lost her child was Eve. And it was at the hand of her other child. So imagine, like, the full force of her realizing the results of her decision to take the fruit in those moments. And we're still bearing that agony. You know, once, like you said, it's a fallen world. We're still bearing that agony today. And so this book, Desperate Prayers, Embracing the Power of Prayer in Life's Darkest Moments. When I say life's darkest moments, I am not talking about your Starbucks order was wrong. You know, obviously everybody knows that. I'm talking about that those just heart-wrenching, heartbreaking moments where you don't understand who God is and where he is, and you're just reeling to try to figure that out. And what I found is that rather than turning away from him or running away from him, when I ran to him, with all of my anger, with all of my emotions, with my tears, when I ran to him, I started to understand, first of all, that he was listening. Second of all, that he was always present, always willing to hear me, no matter how frustrated or angry I was. And then I began to hear him speak back to me in my heart. And that, the power of that, recognizing that this is a relationship. He is my heavenly father. I am his child. And really beginning to solidify that in my own life was so pivotal that I felt like I had to share that journey. One of the moments that I describe in the book is when I was standing beside my daughter's bed and I was so frustrated. And at this point, she was so sick that there was no going out into the sunshine. And I just remember the lesson God teaching me there. I was complaining to him, like, Lord, it would be so great if we could be out in the sunshine today. And immediately his spirit spoke back to me and said, you have a choice. You can wish you were out in the sunshine, or you can be grateful for the sun that's shining in through the window. And that was a pivotal moment for me to learn that it really isn't about the circumstances as much as it is my perspective and taking everything to my father so that he can help me shift that perspective when it's needed. That's the process of learning to be more like Jesus. And it's a painful process because we're human.
Yeah.
We are human with flesh and blood, but opening our eyes up to the power of communicating with our Heavenly Father is just, it's life-changing.
Right.
It moves us. It compels us to live for more than ourselves.
Yes.
And that's a journey that really just I wanted to share as we walk through these 15 Bible characters, one per chapter, that their prayers and they're the desperados of the Bible. They're
right.
the people who were like, I'm at rock bottom. There's no hope. There's no help. That may seem like it's just a bunch of stories. There's so much more to understanding the communication that you can have with your father as a result of studying these characters. So that's what I really hoped to bring to the table.
And I just can't even wait to read it, Rachel. I love everything that you're sharing. I love that you mentioned it's a process because at the same time, it's individual choices. Because when we are in desperate places where maybe we're angry at God, if we want to be honest, like you said, I was so frustrated standing there at my daughter's bedside. Sometimes the last thing we feel like doing is praying. You know, we just want to push God away. I mean, if we're just honest about these things, because we know he's sovereign, right? We know he could just speak a word and it would all go away. And so when he allows us to go through painful situations, it is about our own heart posture shifting back to what he wants from us. Your word embracing, it seems like such a nice word, and it is, but it really is a very resilient decision. I'm going to choose to embrace what God is doing in my life and allow these moments to be a catalyst to bring me closer to the Lord instead of away from him. You also talk about the power of three-word prayers. Talk about that for a second, because I think some people can get intimidated. They don't know what to pray. They think they have to pray for 45 minutes. And sometimes when we are emotionally spent, we just don't have that. I mean, the Psalm says, consider my sighing. Like, I can't even get words out. So why the power and the impact of a three-word prayer, Rachel?
I think people who are desperate, like myself, when you've experienced a lot of loss or you're walking through grief or whatever your individual circumstances are, there's so many levels to loss. It may not be a loved one. It may be a job, a career, a retirement plan. It may be, I mean, there's so many kinds of grief and loss that I can't even name them all.
Right.
But when you're in those desperate situations, the idea of formulating words is almost impossible. I'm telling you, after I lost Taylor, I'm an introvert anyway. I'm an extroverted introvert. And so finding my words are few. My husband and I joke all the time when we go on vacation together by ourselves, we don't say anything to each other until about 10 a.m. And we're both totally happy with that.
I can relate. Yeah.
So finding words sometimes can be just absolutely terrible when you are in rough situations. And I just found that condensing it down to really simplify, I think one of the most strategic prayers is just, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
God, help me. It's just three words, but each chapter in my book talks about those three word prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. Lord, restore me. And just the simplification of those three words, how much power that can have. Because when we're saying, God, help me, really, that's an admission that we don't have the strength and the power to do these things, to walk these things. And so that God, help me, it's a surrendered prayer, and it's an admission, and it's a request, all in one. And I just think that there's so much power in condensing down what we have to say. We're so wordy, and we have so much, we're inundated with information, right? We're all on information overload.
Yes.
And so just being willing to simplify and condense, have any words today, God help me.
Yeah.
One of the chapters I have received a ton of feedback on is chapter 9, where you, what to do, how do you pray when you have no words, when you have no words at all? And for many days after Taylor's passing, I had no words. I really struggled with just getting out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
I would open my eyes and think, what is today? Where am I? And what am I supposed to do? And in order just to do the next right thing in caring for my other children and continuing to love my husband, in order to do that, I would just have to open my eyes and say, okay, Lord, my heart is beating. I know you have a plan for me. And it's a challenge, but I believe that those three word prayers can be pivotal for someone who's really struggling to capture words, or who is too wordy and feels like, I just need something simple to hold on to.
Yeah. Well, and I think our own insecurity, our own perfectionism, which you kind of addressed too, like that can get in the way of us just, let me bring these lofty, wordy prayers. And what you're identifying is just the posture, the heart posture that God is looking for, which is that admitting in a very independent culture here in the West that, you know, we pride self-reliance, we pride independence. It can be countercultural for us to say God wants us to come to him and bring our frailty. And it's in our weakness that we are made strong. I was also thinking, Rachel, before we wrap up, grief and loss is so disorienting. And when you're struggling to kind of get your bearings, even though it's such a smaller scale than what we're dealing with and talking about today, I had a really bad car accident at the beginning of 2020. So as everybody was also, we were all going through COVID, I was also healing from this car accident, and I had a pretty substantial head injury from a concussion. I was knocked out, you know, and months and months and months of seeing doctors and neurology appointments. And the best word I could describe is disoriented. I felt disoriented on days like, what am I trying? I would get a sentence out and couldn't remember the rest of the paragraph where I was going. I felt dumb. I felt helpless. It was just the most debilitating feeling. And I'm a lot better than where I was. But that feeling of disorientation can be so powerful, and the enemy exploits that. And so I feel like a three word prayer gives us a handle, and like, where is my true north?
Right.
Like the compass is spinning. Where is, you know, even this morning I felt a little kind of, I'm finishing up my last paper for my master's, so my brain is overloaded, and I just put on the Danny Gokey song, Christ is the Center. And I felt like as I sang those lyrics getting ready, Christ, you're my obsession, you're my devotion. Christ is the center of it all. I felt kind of that disorientation calming to a focal point Christ, you are the center today. What do you have for me today? What do you want from me today? And so what Rachel is describing for us guys is in a very overstimulating culture, constant information overload, constant uncertainty, scrolling our phones to where there's a million images and emotions and way more than what we're capable of processing, even in a given day.
Yes.
She's reminding us to stop all of that. Get down to the root between you and the Lord. Pray a desperate prayer. Walk through these 15 Bible desperados who know exactly what we feel like in those moments. There's nothing that we're going to encounter that has not already been addressed biblically. So there's nothing that you could go through that the Bible doesn't have an answer for. And Rachel's going to pray for us in just a moment. But Rachel, I always like to ask one last question, and it may be one of these 15, but who in the Bible is that person other than Jesus that has continually inspired you to make your life matter for Jesus?
So it's hard because I do have 15 that I'm really in love with.
I know, right? We study them. They're very close to our heart.
Yes. But if I had to choose one, I think that it would be David.
Okay.
My friend Sharon James, you know her as well. She often will encourage me with, Rachel, you're David. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, Sharon, because he was a murderer.
He was also a person after God's heart. Yeah,
that's yes. And
absolutely.
That's what I hold on to is just the shepherd, the leader that he was, the way that he continued to seek after God, no matter how deep his pain. And the Psalms are proof of that for us.
Yes.
So I think if I had to choose just one, I would choose him. Now, why he was dancing naked in the streets, you know, I definitely don't want a pattern after that side. Why he was a murderer, definitely don't want a pattern after that side. But just being both a lover of God and a warrior for God, those are the characteristics that I appreciate so much about him. And so I hope that that encourages someone else that no matter how extreme you feel, you know, which way, that if God can use David, he can use you. And it is just a matter of turning to him and beginning to foster that relationship with him. And, you know, Angela, I worried because Taylor kept me tethered to Jesus.
Yeah.
Her life and taking care of her kept me tethered to Jesus. And I worried that once she was gone, I would eventually forget that I needed to be tethered to Jesus. And praise the Lord, that has not happened. But I believe what you have said on the podcast is true, that it is an intentional choice. And when my outside circumstances are not desperate, that I will still have that deep desperation for God that I need, because he is who we need. He is all we have. And so I pray that that is encouraging to someone listening today.
I'm so glad you said that, Rachel, because I do think that we can find this desperation place in brokenness, but can we also maintain a place of desperation for Christ and his purposes in our life in the good times, in the times where, you know, I have a scar that runs the length of my torso from one of my near-death experiences. And I remember almost praying that same thing. God, I don't ever want to forget, even when the scar heals and it's not painful to touch anymore, and I don't live in the fresh trauma of it, I don't want to forget what it felt like to sit in the hospital room and cry for your presence. And I think when we're broken in places, Rachel, not only are we more empathetic to the brokenness, or at least God wants us to be more empathetic, compassionate for the brokenness of others, but we also are more dialed into what breaks the heart of God. And that's that sensitivity that we never want to lose. There's times that you go through something, and maybe people are listening right now, and you're feeling like it's so painful, you're just numb. And that's normal too. But as those nerves reawaken, both physically and spiritually, what Rachel's encouraging us is to let that keep us a posture of sensitivity toward what the Lord is doing in you. And that will keep you sensitive to the needs of others. So, Rachel, I just want to thank you not only for pressing through in your own life, but then allowing the most painful, poignant, tender moments of your life to be on paper for others to heal from and to grow from. And that is no small thing. And so I honor you for that. I thank you for that. And we just pray that as the book releases, tell people how they can get a copy because it comes out literally within the next 2 weeks. So where do you want them to go to get a copy before you pray for us?
Yes. So anyone interested in receiving either more information or purchasing the book can go to desperateprayers.com. So really simple, just desperateprayers.com, and that will take you directly to the page where you can get more information or purchase the book. And I thank you so much, Angela, for giving me the opportunity to share. As you know, it is a little scary to write your story out on paper or even parts of it that are deeply painful and emotional, and just hope that they will be well received in the way of ministering to others. And so I appreciate you allowing me that opportunity to share about that experience, and trust that God is using your podcast in amazing ways.
Thank you, Rachel. It's been an honor to have you here, and I can't wait to connect you with Janet when we hop off the call. She'll actually be at the
Yes.
retreats. If you're able to come, you'll meet her. But regardless, I want, because I feel like you're soul sisters too. And
Yeah.
God uses, he doesn't waste any piece of our story. He uses every piece of our story that's surrendered to him. So Rachel, thank you for not only being here, but sharing Desperate Prayers. Guys, go get a copy. What a wonderful way to start your fall and to maybe take a chapter a week as you go through this fall season. Rachel, would you close our time by praying for our listeners today?
I would be so honored to do that. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you so much. And I pray that everyone listening under the sound of my voice would just still their hearts to know that you are with them right here, right now, in this moment. That it's an incredible thing about you, God. You are everywhere, you are omnipresent, and you can be with us during this podcast recording. And then also, as I pray this prayer, you are with each individual listener. So I ask you now, Lord, that you would help us to embrace our current circumstances, no matter how crazy, wild, messed up, calm they may be, no matter what they look like, that desperation in our hearts would be driven to a deeper relationship with you and a dependence on you that is like no other, a trust that allows us to experience all that you have for us on this planet and in heaven. Lord, I thank you for Angela, and I pray that you would bless her as she takes the break coming up. Give her restoration, Lord. Thank you for her wise words, her beautiful messaging that is shared across the Make Your Life Matter podcast. And now we ask, as we close out this time, that you would bring exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think upon each person listening and Angela today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.